schok van de 11e september is niet alleen hard aangekomen in de westerse wereld. Ook in de ontwikkelingslanden zijn de gevolgen enorm. Veel ondemocratische regimes gebruiken de zogenaamde oorlog tegen het terrorisme als een vrijbrief om maatregelen tegen hun oppositie te nemen. Grenzen gaan dicht, vluchtelingenkampen stromen vol. De Nederlandse organisatie TPO verleent over de hele wereld hulp aan overlevenden van oorlog en geweld. Met lokale medewerkers die meestal zelf ook slachtoffer zijn. Elk jaar komen een aantal van hen bijeen voor een internationale training. Dit keer in Oeganda. Om te leren van de ervaringen van lotgenoten uit andere culturen. En daarmee de hulpverlening in eigen land een nieuwe impuls te geven.
En Chimi en Lo, de laatste.
De Cambodjaan Leung Lo is psycholoog geworden. Hij staat slachtoffers bij van het beruchte Rode Khmer regime van Pol Pot.
So this is called mushroom number 6, my house, beautiful.
De Tibetanen Nawal Toepten en Chima Dorji zijn opgeleid tot sociaal werker in de Tibetaanse vluchtelingenkampen in India.
I'm gonna sleep here.
This is my traffic room.
Een boeddhistische levensovertuiging leert dat het nodig is om een gruwelijk verleden eerst onder ogen te zien. Dan pas kan iemand zijn leven weer in balans brengen.
Tibet has a history of about 2000 years. And in the past it has been a quite peaceful country and it was ruled by many kings and slowly it came into one country. Buddhism came from India and Nepal, and Tibet became more peaceful and it became more non-violent. And in Tibet presently, there are more Chinese than Tibetans, and people say it's around 1:6 ratio. So that's one of the main concern for us. Now, if we don't do fast to get something, at least a general autonomy or what else. Then one day there won't be any Tibetans left in the Tibet.
Yeah. So first of all, I just would like to tell you all where is Cambodia located. It is in Southeast Asia. Yeah, it is next to Thailand and Vietnam. Cambodian people have been through the war over 20 years. The most difficult traumatization in the past is between 1975 to 1979. That was a genocide regime. It killed many people. Many people in the country was moved to different part of the country. So the networking was spoiled. And they forced people to work very hard, not enough food. Most people die of starvation and killed.
Left, Uganda. Who's presenting Uganda?
When I was very young, my father passed away, and my mother used to tell me I had two brothers, but they also passed away when very young. So I don't have a clear memory of my father and my brothers. But I remember my mother, but now it's been very long since I came from Tibet. I came from Tibet in 1982, At that time I was 8 years old and nomad.
When my father was in Tibet, he was a monk and he was in one of the monasteries in Kham province. And as soon as the Chinese attacked, they left the monastery and then they came all the way to India. And then all the Tibetans who came as a refugee been shifted to the south. So now most of the populations are situated in the south of the country.
We came in a Chinese truck which carries lots. So what happened was during the course of the journey, my uncle hid me in between the lots and he covered me fully. And he said, do not make noise or do not come up until I tell you. So I thought what that is, but I didn't know why. and the truck went on and it stopped, and I could hear some different voices, but then again it went off, and I could again hear different voices, like the language were different. Then after a while my uncle said, now it's okay to come out. And now if I think over that, that was the passing of the border between Tibet and Nepal.
My father, he was forced to work very hard and eat very liquid food. In the past, before the regime, he usually eat rice. And I remember one time because of he very hungry, he put a trap for the cats. So when the cats come to his trap, he catch that cat and making food. He just hang the cat up, and somebody informed to the government. They come and arrest him and put him in the prison and beat him very softly. And he stayed there. When I went to see him with my mother, he was tied in a small cottage and without food. He was very suffer. And after a few weeks, he was delivered from that, and he become swollen. He become swollen and ill, severe and severe, and finally he died in 1978. He died in no ceremony performance. In Pol Pot regime, we were the same, all farmers working very heavily and without food, and all among family, normal family were broken. Everybody have people die, have not even one, I think more than three or five family members were die or killed in Pol Pot regime. And all the people who went through that regime have went through traumatic experience also. All the monk also is people, human, also they suffer.
It was in 1993 I got the last information about my family. So that time I heard that my mother is now living with my uncle, who's my father's brother. So it's been very long. So now, I think it has to do with that, but I don't know how truly it fits in. But now, if I look into myself, sometimes I feel I think in a different way than others. Now I feel more like I'll be focusing only on myself. And like since it's been very long, tend to forget my family. And it makes me feel that I don't belong to anywhere.
To my culture, revenge is just do what your enemy does to you.
Yeah.
The actions what the US is taking now, I would say it's healthy. Though in between, all these civilians might be affected.
What will really be the impact on the poor people? The impact of such an event, like innocent people are dying, will it be the rightful way of solving problems?
What was the reason which made those people to cause such explosion to happen there? But now it has happened, and if I were to be in the American government, instead I will not decide such revenge. I will want to know from the person who planned for that to explain.
Like here we have also among the bordering sub-county, Acholi and Mali. We also have conflict between Mali and Acholi. Oh no, an off conflict between mother and child. We have rebel activities, people being displaced, and if you really see the mothers who are being displaced, you really see the tears. That is an impact of revenge or conflict. So if we could really have reconciliation in such situations, we can make such sufferers lead a better life.
Maybe start from now, America. How can this situation now lead to vengeance, forgiveness?
We have started bombing in the Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So this is what vengeance is now. But they are bombing the country, and again, the person whom they want to bomb doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
But innocent people are getting hurt. So I don't know if the vengeance is doing the justice there.
We was being sent from Northern Sudan, from Khartoum, to come and bomb Southern Sudan. People are now in dying, just like animals in the bush.
The whole world is affected now. It's true. How is going to be the impact now on the whole world?
Shall you look at the difference? If you take alcohol, you are always saying this is for my pleasure, this is for my culture, this is for my rituals and so on. So at one point you are suffering from cirrhosis of the liver. You can't cure the illness. So you can come with a tummy like ascites, and it's a kind of end stage of your illness, and then you die. So like this, can you understand the comparison between the American issue? So because they enjoy with the terrorism. They enjoyed it, created a lot of terrorist groups in other part of the world. They supported a lot of other groups. And finally, they turned against America. And now they are bombing the sky, saying that we need justice. So this is not revenge. They, whatever they want, they can play with the words. But basically the same.
People live in anxiety. I see a lot of cases. I will analyze this with anxiety and depression. Depression makes people hopeless, doesn't want to work. And that is disaster for the country. It will not develop fast. If you have a lot of people with depression, and for the anxiety, people live with uncertainty about the future.
We have many monks who come from Tibet and who have been present in Chinese prisons because of their belief. They didn't do anything wrong, they didn't kill people, but because of their belief in Buddhism, they were imprisoned and they were tortured. And now when they came to India, even when they hear whistle, they get frightened. And they become very nervous and they start sweating, and even when in the night, when they were sleeping, they start dreaming about the past, and they couldn't sleep, they couldn't get, their sleeps are disturbed. And because of this, they can't, even when they are in India, they can't practice their religious properly.
In Cambodia, we have five programs. We have clinic, we have, we call psychoeducation, is just like here, psycho awareness, it's CPPH. And we have counseling program, and we have training program, and we have self-help group program. That's five main program in TBO Cambodia. And for the self-help group, usually we work with people who suffer from psychosocial problem, like domestic violence, like alcoholism, yeah. And for the counseling, we work for many kind of people, but in our analysis, we see a lot of people with anxiety and depression. It's because of living condition and history from many regions, just because of war, separation, loss, handicap, and often widow.
I was working in a school as a social worker, and this boy has epileptic seizures, and he has not been to school for almost 7 years. In my office or in my workplace, What I'm doing here is trying to teach him to differentiate different shapes, different colors, and different numbers. So that I do it in a playful way with the cards. And this is another boy. And for him, we use mirror to communicate. We need to do something for these children. So that's actually how I went up and started working there. Because I was also the student of that same school. When I was young, I studied there. So I feel that school is my home.
Usually, the monks that we have would not shave their beard and will not have hair, and they will wear a hat. But because of the style of living, like I am a priest, but I am a doctor and working for the government. In other countries, in Egypt or other places, you don't find priests who work for the government. If you are a priest, you're a full-time priest. So there is some differences in the, you know, basic traditional practices in different countries.
So Hinduism says, okay, for the initial steps you can believe on God. And it depends, I explained it to Stephen also, I mean, it depends on different function, we appoint a different gods. And finally, we have some relationship in between them, husband, wife, two children, then wife, brother, that kind of human relationships we have adapted to the gods also. We shared most of our rituals with the Buddhist also, around the clockwise, the way we praise and we pray God like this. We divide us as a body and the soul. So soul is supposed to be, it won't die. Only the body dies, body burn and they again die. And Buddhism has lot of psychology, Eastern psychology. Because one of my psychiatrists is a Buddhist, he explored Buddhism and in and out. So he came out with that Freud says at least three energy. One is libido and thanatos and eros. But Buddhism says five energy, and he came out with five energy. So.
Because of our religious beliefs, it has been the fight against our freedom. Now, a lot of our youth are now getting, I think, maybe a little bit frustrated of waiting for 40 years, and some start changing their ideology like now. And I have friends like me in the college and things like other, when we exchange ideas, some have now idea that we should do something violent. If we wait, it's not worth. But still our leader, the Dalai Lama, and majority of the people still believe that something will happen if we go by non-violence. And if we go by violence, there will be worse and nothing better.
The normal way of how Tibetans usually seek help is if there is any problem with us, we will go to a religious person and perform more. That is, in English, I think it's divination. We perform more and find out what is the cost. And then sometimes it has to do with purification, and that means we have to do a lot of rituals, a lot of religious practices we have to do. It doesn't mean that the person has to do personally. We can call monks and religious persons to do for ourselves.
Usually in our culture, people tend to keep what is painful inside their mind. They don't want to tell out because we have a proverb that it just like open our chest for the bird to pick up. It's no help. So they tend to keep it. And in psychology, it's keeping a painful memory inside the body. It will not go anywhere. It just keep and just add and add. Usually I practice breathing exercise, And breathing exercise is a beginning step of meditation. Basically, we live because of our breath. So breath is, we call wind, is one of component of our body. So wind, soil element, water, power, and yes, that's also, if we can balance all these components, we will be good.
I personally do not practice too much because it is not necessary that every Buddhist should meditate. So it depends on individual whether he wants to. And actually, if we go into the meditation from the religious point of view, it is very deep. And it just not can be done by individuals who have no proper training and no proper guidance from the spiritual leaders.
You can massage to the whole body, but today we are going to introduce you the three different parts of the body. Neck, this is the first part, and second part is the back, upper back, and then third part is the sole. These three we are going to introduce you how to do it. And these are the portion which we are going to take it. First of all, he should be very relaxed. So we have to know that the person is relaxed or not. You do like this. Both take your hand and fix firmly. It should be very firmly. And then ask the person to give the head in our hand. So I will ask him. So see, at least 5 or 6 kgs are there. That we have to feel it. If you shake it, the whole body will move. See, it means it's relaxed. So what we have to do is, see, we have to take in this direction, very slowly, 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 slowly. Then you can change the direction also, like this. Relax.
Massage is useful for the mind as well as in the body, because it has a special effect of this touch. Probably you will feel after the practical exercises. So recently, I think for the last 5 years, we have incorporated the massage with our psychiatric practices also, because we found it is very helpful for the victims of torture or the torture survivors, because usually torture survivors are suffered from a lot of deep kind of muscular pains. So we found that massage is really helpful for them.
Yeah, we have meditation and yoga. So yeah, these are also other ways of relaxing. So usually in the evening when people go to sleep, before going to sleep, they can meditate and get themselves relaxed and think about the things that have been done in the daytime. So start reflecting on that and then say some prayers That's also one way of relaxing.
Most of the Tibetans have a very good character. They believe in non-violence. But nowadays in Tibet, what they're doing is the Chinese people, they try to make them people crazy, especially for the Tibetan youngsters. So these days, there is a lot of gamblers, gambling in Tibet, a lot of prostitutes, and lots of... I think a lot of bad things are focusing on the Lhasa, capital of Tibet, in order to make the youngster crazy, to make them bad. And then when they come to India, they have a same street, and then there is some...
They are lost in a way.
Yeah, I think they have a problem of identity, where they belong. Because sometimes, I cannot say it's many, but there are people, young people, who sometimes act more like a Westerner and more like a country where they live and tend to forget the tradition of Tibet. So that might be the problem that youngsters facing. But because of the long period that we have been staying away from our country, away from the people whom we love, that makes the people frustrated, I think. So now, even to the extent of forgetting the religion. So I think that's very dangerous.
So sometimes it is very important to a bit low down our expectation. And I don't know how to call it. And expand our limit. I mean, expand our effort, improve our effort, and a bit low down our expectation so that we can find peace in mind. And as I said, I keep using the Buddhist, always stay the middle. Peace is always the middle. If we don't satisfy with our living condition in the prison, you will never find any peace. We also can imply it for ourselves. It's just like people are doing research, negative and positive. Like I said, prioritize it and see it. If we suffer so much from that, we think that negative is a lot. It's more than positive. Then we prioritize it and make our decision again whether we want to do this job, continue, or want to finish and find another job. Sita, Jee Kula Sita.